Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue on a theme the church is giving us in the daily readings. The first reading each day this week, most of the days, is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Yesterday was that famous reading where Paul talks about how the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel, went forward in his life, and I think it's very much how it's meant to go forth through our life. And to understand, just in one paragraph, Paul gives us such a dramatic and clear sense of how the mission of the church and the spreading of the kingdom of God and manifesting its presence and manifesting the reality and confirming the truth that's proclaimed, this is really a work of God. What we're caught up in, and this is astounding when you really think about it, is the Trinitarian missions, that mission evangelization, the work of salvation, of setting captives free, whether it's the direct proclamation of the gospel, whether it's the corporal spiritual works of mercy, whatever it is, as the church is going forward in her mission, she's bearing witness, she's living out a relationship that each one of us has with Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're following him, we're walking in his footsteps, we're imitating him. It's a supernatural work that's happening in us. The Spirit of God dwells in us as in a temple. He's transforming us, he's changing us, he's leading us, and he's leading us to live a new way of life that bears witness to the presence of the kingdom of God, which is God's instrument of mercy in the world for the salvation of the human race. All this began in the heart of a loving father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God, the origin of all things, from the heart of a loving father, he sent forth his son, who came in love for us and love for the Father, and he condescended. He took on human flesh. He humbled himself, becoming obedient, St. Paul said, even to the point of death, out of love for the Father, out of love for us. And it's the Holy Spirit, as we said yesterday, that anointed Jesus. Jesus was so intimately aware that the Holy Spirit was upon him, leading him, guiding him in the mission. And the church wants us to be able to see, and the Lord wants us to see and grasp and believe that he became one of us. He took on human flesh, and in his person, he united heaven and earth. And in his person, the Holy Spirit began to dwell. The Holy Spirit never dwelt in anyone or on anyone like Jesus. They're perfectly united for all eternity, but that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relationship now, in Jesus becoming one of us and taking on human flesh, he's drawing human nature, he's drawing you and me into this intimate, profound relationship with God that's empowered by God, initiated by God. And so yesterday's reading, Paul was saying that when he went forward, he knew the message he was proclaiming that led to faith in people was a message that went forward in power, not just in eloquence, but in a demonstration of the Spirit in power. That's amazing. That Spirit's at work in you. That Spirit's at work in me. And we can also learn a lot from St. Paul that find this very encouraging. We're living through troubling times. We're in troubled waters. There's a lot of uncertainty in the present and about the future. We don't know. There's a battle going on and we feel it. We'd rather it not be here, you know? We'd like to go back to the way things were, maybe. But Paul shows us, as our Lord did and all the apostles did, that when you start living by the power of the Spirit in your life, when you believe, it's not just like a theological point that you have in your mind, but it's a lived experience of the person of the Spirit within you. And you begin to see the Christian life as one surrendered to the work of the Spirit in you. I mean, that's what it means to be Christian. It means to be anointed with the Spirit that Jesus just declared yesterday in the gospel, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. That's something you can say if you're baptized into Christ. St. John Paul II used to say, everybody baptized and confirmed into Jesus can look in the mirror and say, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to give sight to the blind, to announce the favor, the year of favor. The year of favor really is the person of Jesus risen from the dead at the right hand of the Father and eternity being opened for us that we can see and believe and embrace. through the grace of receiving the good news of God, as St. Paul would describe it, any and every circumstance that comes our way. You know, the circumstances of life, we all know there's things that have happened to us already in our lives that we didn't choose, we would rather have not have happened. But we know, walking with Christ, living from Him, abiding in Him, we find a great strength. We can find that scripture, you know, in Him who is the source of my strength, I have strength for everything. And so Paul wasn't discouraged by his circumstances. Christ wasn't surprised by the suffering, the fact that he would be despised and rejected by men. And, you know, the Son of Man, he said, has no place to lay his head. He didn't go through life living in a five-star hotel or having comfort. It just wasn't an issue for Jesus. He understood. He understood what the world is and how short his life was going to be. But we know as well how short our lives will be. And the center and the whole meaning of our life is not to be found in what we've acquired or who knows us, our power, influence, our bank account, all the stuff that people try to find security in. Remember, one of the themes that is present today prophetically in the world, I believe, is the Lord is allowing things that we cling to for security and identity to be shaken. The very battle itself against COVID was a battle for human beings to confront their mortality and the reality of our lack of control and the lack of clarity about where our life is going and what's the meaning of life. This is part of what's the weight of the whole thing in the lives of so many people. And there's a financial stress, a significant one, and there's probably more to come. There's a shaking of our politics, and it's more unstable and feels more unstable to most people than probably at any time in our lives. But the Lord's here, and His anointing's upon you, and it's upon me, and He's present in us. So today's reading, Paul really continues the same section, chapter 2, from 1 Corinthians. Just read a few verses from it. Paul says, "Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age, of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away." Now, he said, among the mature, that is, among those who've come to terms with the call of what it means to follow Jesus, who are living with a renewed mind. And going back to Sunday's first reading or second reading at Mass, the exhortation of St. Paul, I think it's from Romans, do not be conformed to this world. That is, don't take on the form of this world which idolizes and finds identity and security in secondary, shakable things. Don't say yes to and don't elevate and exalt things in this world that are offensive to God. Don't put all your time and energy into things from which it's impossible to draw life or that chokes off the life of God. And Paul says here, among the mature, we impart a wisdom. We're talking about the wisdom of God here, and here's how he describes it so beautiful. Although it's not a wisdom of this age, you know, this passing age, this not only is my life going to pass here soon, and life's a breath and a passing shadow, but the whole age will pass. We're in the last hour of human history, and the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, that is, who are the rulers of this age? Satan and the demons that dominate this world in so many ways. And unfortunately, those who cling to him or cling to the lies or cling to our habit patterns of sin who haven't come into salvation. But Paul goes on to say in verse 7, but we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom, which God decreed before the ages for our glorification. It's the hidden wisdom of God. First, it's just the revelation of God, of who God is. His glory, His majesty, His beauty, His power, His holiness, His nature, and the word that came forth from Him. Not just the prophets of the Old Testament and the patriarchs, but His Son in the fullness of time. Jesus is the word of the Father. What the Father wants us to know, the Father who made us, what He wants us to know is come forth in the Son. And what He wants us to know is who we are and where we're from and the battle we're fighting and the gift of salvation. And as Paul said, for our glorification, this wisdom of God has come. Jesus is the wisdom of God. The cross is the wisdom of God. The resurrection is the manifestation of the wisdom of God. And the glorification of Jesus is the foretaste of where we're going. That's the glorification that's been hidden in the heart of God, that Jesus Christ now brings to the world. I love this line, verse 8, Paul says, none of the rulers of this age, none of the spirits, the dark spirits, or those who have given themselves over to the dark spirits, understand this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It's a great line. The rulers of this world, even the Roman soldiers, the Roman government, others, and the demonic forces that led Jesus to Calvary, thinking they were in charge, and they were going to do away with Christ. They were going to put him away like they put everybody away, right, under the power of death. And they could stand and accuse. They stood in the devils, the demons, you know, named for Satan, he's an accuser. And he accuses the brethren before God. Look, this one is a sinner. This one hasn't been faithful to you. This one does deserve to die. This one is mine. And he wants to lay claim. But in Christ, he overstepped his bounds. He falsely accused a perfect, innocent man. Perfect because what? He gave to God what belongs to God. He loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loved his neighbors, himself. He filled the law full in Christ. And if the devil would have known that moment he thought he won victory, when he pierced the side of Jesus, when he spilt one drop of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, his entire kingdom came down. He was doomed from that day forward. He was destroyed by the love that's in Christ, by the precious blood that was poured. And Christ, who's offering himself in love, becomes a sacrifice for us, a sacrifice for our sin. And that blood, St. Paul says, cleanses our conscience. And we can draw near to God and now become temples of God and be united and made holy by God. He said they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. They did the one thing they never should have done. They shed his blood and it destroyed them. Thanks be to God. And I love this title, really, that Paul uses for Jesus, the Lord of glory. Paul's words echo the words of John the Apostle as well from the book of Revelation, talking about the glory of Jesus. Amazing. The apostles, Peter, Paul, John, they all talk about having beheld his glory and the majesty of Jesus and what true, unsurpassable glory, a glory for all eternity, a glory we've never even been able to see, even in the most glorious moments in this world. It's only a reflection. One of my favorite lines is from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, where John says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and everyone who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall wail on account of him. Even so, amen. It's talking about those who aren't ready for him upon his return. But Jesus is the Lord of glory. All dominion, all authority, and all glory belong to Jesus. And that glory is made manifest to us, Paul is saying. This is the wisdom of God. What God has done in Jesus to save the human race, God's mercy, his kindness, his grace, and his wisdom, so precious. He says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor has man's heart ever even conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.